the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And we wish to read just two verses from this chapter, verses 16 and 17. Verses whose commentary is found in the 25th, in the 26th, and 27th chapters of the book of Genesis, which we will be turning to for the development of these two verses as we read them in your hearing. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For ye know how afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it with tears. I'm sure the Lord would bless to us the reading of those verses to our hearts. Now, of course, as I mentioned, the commentary of those two verses are the three chapters in the book of Genesis, chapter 25, 26, and 27. You cannot read the scriptures without noting that there are those who found no repentance with God. It is not because God was not interested in their spiritual life or deliverance, but because through willful resistance, they had drifted away over the deadline at last. I am one who believes very strongly that there is that possibility of a person reaching that point when they can no longer be saved. I do not know when that time comes. Only God knows, and I believe the individual. But I believe that time comes. The Bible says, my spirit shall not always strive with men. And you would remember that those verses, or that verse, or those words are found in the context of the antediluvian period when God eventually brought judgment upon the people, when just 8 souls were saved, Noah and his family. When you look a little closer at the Holy Scriptures, especially the Old Testament, you note persons who reach that point in their life. I think of Saul the king. You remember the command of God to Saul that he should go and fight against the Philistines, but Samuel told him to wait until he came before going to battle and before the offering of the sacrifice. God had a special ministry for the priests in offering sacrifices unto himself. And whenever anyone intruded into the priest's office was judged immediately, like 'twas true of Uzziah, who imposed his authority over the priests and went into the temple to offer sacrifice or to offer incense at the incense altar, and you know the result. Saul then, as he waited for Samuel, and the Philistines drew near, he became panic, and he offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and he was rejected. When Samuel came to Saul and spoke to him, he told him that God had rejected him and rejected his kingdom. Sometime later, Saul was again given a command that he should go and destroy the Amalekites, the longtime enemy of the people of God. But you know the story. Instead of Saul obeying completely the command of God, he saved Agag, and when Samuel, and of course the best of the sheep and all the rest, when Samuel spoke to him, oh, he says, I have obeyed the voice of God. I have destroyed the Amalekites. I destroyed the living things. And then Samuel said, but what is this bleating I hear in my ears? And then, why Agag? And you remember the words of the Lord through Samuel. Samuel says, wait here, and I will tell thee the words of God, a most solemn pronouncement of judgment upon Saul. And Saul was completely and forever rejected of God. Then there is Achan. Achan had sinned against God. He had disobeyed the word of God. He knew what God expected of them. The command was clear. Don't touch the accursed thing. The first fruits of the first battle in Canaan was to be for the Lord, the first spoils. And it was not to be consumed upon the lust of the people. But Achan, he saw this Babylonish garment. He saw this gold and silver. And he could not resist the temptation. And so he disobeyed God. You know the result. You only have to read chapter 7 and verse 20, and you will find that Achan confessed his sin. Achan said to Joshua, Joshua, I have sinned against the Lord. I have done wrong. But Achan found no repentance. Joshua verified Achan's confession, and they took Achan and his family out in the valley of Achor, and they stoned them to death and heaped upon them a heap of stones. Achan confessed, but it was too late. And then we have in the New Testament Judas. I believe this is one of the saddest stories in the Bible. Here was a man who had a tremendous privilege to spend at least 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read the Gospels, you will note that every so often, the Lord Jesus would say something that, as you put it all together, you will note that they were directed towards Judas. And one of you shall betray me. One of you is a deceiver. One of you is a thief. And Judas knew. And as the Lord Jesus sought to awaken him, not only with mentioning these things, but also unfolding the truth of the gospel, of the word of God that the others heard and embraced, Judas did not. Judas allowed 3 years to pass, being in the presence of God, listening to the greatest preacher that ever walked the earth. And Judas, in the end, the Bible says, sold him for 30 pieces of silver. My, what a rejection. But afterwards he realized that he had betrayed innocent blood. And he went to the priests and he told them, I have sinned. The Bible specifically says that Judas repented of his deed and went back to the priest and took the silver. And he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. But here was a man who repented but found no forgiveness. And the Bible says he went out and he hanged himself. Oh, my friends, then we come to the passage that we have read with you from Hebrews chapter 12. It's talking about Esau. It says, Esau found no repentance, though he sought it with tears. Though he sought it with tears. Now, you only have to note a little closer why this was so. But let me very quickly say to you, that Esau was the firstborn. We have this in chapter 25. He was the firstborn, and as such, he was the possessor of the birthright. And when you think of the birthright in that context, it speaks, first of all, or it entitled the person to the earthly inheritance of Abraham. The earthly inheritance of Abraham. Really, when you read the blessing of Jacob, rather of Esau, of Isaac upon Jacob, you will know that it is the blessing of God upon Abraham. And it was to be the experience and the blessing of the firstborn as they moved it through the eras of time in the ultimate fulfillment of the Christ of God's coming and bringing blessing to the entire world. Esau was the firstborn, and he was the possessor of the birthright, which entitled him to the earthly inheritance of Abraham, also which made him responsible for the priestly right of the family, also which caused him to hold the Edenic promise. Now the Edenic promise is this. When God cursed and judged man for disobedience in the garden, he said to them, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent shall bruise his heel. And he was speaking of Christ coming and offering himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. That was the ultimate sacrifice that would bring deliverance. So when you come to the book of Romans and chapter 3, Romans, the latter part of Romans is retroactive, and it speaks of the sacrifice of Christ, the shedding of his blood, which were for sins that were past, going all the way back to the book of Genesis and chapter 3 and verse 15. And so this, of course, caused him to hold that promise. Abel was the first one, so was Seth, so was Shem, so was Abraham. Isaac, now it's supposed to be passed on to Esau, the firstborn. This also gave him the direct line of the promise of the earth blesser. God said to Abraham, in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Esau was the one that this was going to be perpetuated through. But Esau rejects the birthright. When we think then of him being the direct line for the earth blesser, of course we think of the gospel. And we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who ultimately came and there on the cross laid down his life as a ransom for us all. The Bible tells us that he bore our sins in his body upon the tree. And so when you look at Calvary, when you see the Christ of God hanging there, you realize that he is there for the sins of the entire world. He is there for all mankind. Or the writer to the Hebrews says, chapter 2, verse 9, he tasted death for every man, no one excluded. You and I have been included in that sacrifice of Christ upon the cross, the provision of such salvation that even down here in this 20th century, that sacrifice is still potent, still has power. As the hymn writer puts it, the blood of Jesus Christ will not lose its power until all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. And beloved, listen, even tonight that blood is sufficient to cleanse you from all your sins, to bring you to God. This is what Paul says in Ephesians, that we have been brought nigh unto God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And of course that takes us back again to Calvary, because there on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected of the Father. He was forsaken of the Father.
that through the shedding of his precious blood, you and I might be brought near unto him forever and ever and ever. Esau was the direct line through which this was to be realized as the firstborn and as the one who was the possessor of the birthright. But note Esau's decision. You have to turn to chapter 25 of Genesis and verse 29 to note Esau's decision. Esau's decision is set in verse 29, Genesis 25. And Jacob boiled pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that some red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point of death, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Note this, thus Esau despised his birthright. My, what a decision. What a decision for a man to make when he realized, and you see, they were taught, they were made to realize the impact of the birthright so they would be fully cognizant of what God expected of them. And so Esau knew, and so Esau said, what good will it do me if I should die? But you see, it would have been passed on to his offspring. And it would have continued. But Esau, the Bible says, despised his birthright. He despised his birthright because he thought, or he lived for the present. He lived only for the present. He had no consideration of the future. A lot of people are like that today. They have no thought for the future as far as their soul is concerned. They live only for the present. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. This is the philosophy of many in our world tonight. Esau lived only for the present. He forgot about eternity, something like the rich fool. And God called him a fool in Luke chapter 12, because he too lived only for time. Only for the present, not for the future. You see, my friends, you have an eternal soul. When death comes, that does not end it. That's not the end of life. That's the end of human existence. And a movement here among your comrades and family. But listen, when you leave this life, life just really begins. You are going to live the greater portion of your life on the other side in eternity. Right here, it's but a drop in the bucket. And so, you see, it's important that you think of eternity, not just time. This man, Esau, thought and lived only for the present. And God called the rich fool a fool, or the rich man a fool, because he knew better. He knew better. The Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now you will note the import of that verse, Psalm 14. It doesn't mean that he does not believe in the existence of God. It means that he was saying, there is no God for me. That was his philosophy, the original rendition. There is no God for me. So as far as he was concerned, give me my life now. Give me the roses while I live. Forget about the future. Forget about eternity. That's the way he lived. And God called him a fool. God called him a fool. And every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who lived the same way is a fool. is a fool, my friends. Judas lived only for the present. Gehazi lived only for the present. Oh, he thought of Naaman's gifts to his master that had been refused. He runs along and stops Naaman and says, Naaman says, what's the matter? He says, my master sent me to get some stuff from you because some folk just came by and they have a need. Gehazi lied and got some of the stuff that Naaman had brought. When he went to Elijah said to him, Elisha said to him, Gehazi, where you been? Oh, I've been nowhere. Just moving round about here. Did not my presence go with you? Is this a time to get gifts, to receive things? This is a time of urgency. This is a time when people have leprosy and need to be cleansed. This is a time when souls are perishing. This is a time when eternity draws near. It's no time to fool around. It's no time to be earthbound. It's no time to be enterprising. It's time to be concerned about souls, my friend. Your soul and my soul and the souls of friends. This is the time. It's a time of urgency. The leprosy that Naaman had shall be yours. And Gehazi went out as white as snow. My friends, because he lived only for time, I'm reminded of the man who lay dying and his 5-year-old daughter stood by his bedside and said, Daddy, what's wrong? She couldn't understand why her daddy, who was so buoyant and so active now, could hardly move. And she said, Daddy, what's wrong? Oh, he said, Daddy is going away. Going away? Daddy, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to another place. Daddy, do you have a big house like we have here where you're going? And the father commenced to weep. He says, no, my dear, no. Daddy lived only for time. I built my castles in a region like this. Where I am going, I have no mansion. Oh, how poor I am. When Colonel Vanderbilt was dying, Horatio Bonar visited him, and he looked up into, as Horatio Bonar spoke with him, he said, Horatio, would you sing one of those songs for me? One of your songs. And Horatio sung that song concerning poverty, spiritual poverty. And when Colonel Vanderbilt heard that, he cried, Oh yes, I'm a pauper, rich in this life, but a pauper for eternity. I go out with nothing, living only for time. What about you tonight? Esau made his decision. He rejected, he sold the birthright, he despised the birthright because he lived for the present. Also because he cared more for the body than the soul. Look at verse 32. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? He thought more of his body and of his soul. More. I think it was in the Daily Bread some time ago I read of a man that was being witnessed to who had no interest in spiritual things, but he gave himself to exercising and caring for his body and never thinking about his soul. And in the height of his physical fitness, he was heard to hear or heard to say when he was about to slip out into eternity, my body is fit, but my soul is lost. He thinking only of the body. And a lot of us, that's all we think about. What people see, what people say. Now we're about the soul, the naked before God. Esau thought about the body. He said, listen, I'm going to die if I don't eat. And so, away with the birthright. Give me some of that red pottage. That's my interest. Let me feed my body. Let me take care of this life. And forget about anything else. Esau's decision was also because he thought too lightly of death. He says, I'm going to die. What good is this birthright? You see, my friend, there's more to dying than just dying. There's more to dying than just dying. You see, when you die, all opportunities cease. Opportunities to continue to live, obviously. Opportunity to continue to look after the body, obviously. Opportunity, my friends, to seek out help for your soul. When you die, that's it. There is no repentance beyond the grave. There is no further opportunity to be saved. That's why you have to be saved in this life. You have to know here. Don't you ever listen to anyone who says to you, you cannot know where you are going. When you die, you have to know. You must know. Because listen, when you get on the other side, you cannot change your mind. Or you can change your mind, but you can't change the circumstances. Too late. Too late. Shall be the cry. Esau thought too lightly about death. Also, when you die, comes the judgment. The judgment follows. Oh, yes. There is more to dying than just dying. There's more to dying than just dying. That's why it is so important to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only did he think too lightly of death, which caused him to make such a decision, as we've mentioned, he despised his birthright. To do that, as I mentioned, was to despise the divine influence, was to despise spiritual responsibility, and was to lose a guarantee of future hope. To lose the guarantee of future hope. Very quickly, note with me, God's reaction. God's reaction. God was very hurt. If I might use the word advisedly, God was devastated when he saw such a decision. But a creature that he had so graciously brought him into to the privilege and the blessing of being the firstborn and the possessor of the birthright through which his son would come. Think of it, my friend. God bringing Esau, that's grace. That's mercy. That's long-suffering. That's God being concerned about man. The psalmist cried, when I consider the heavens and the works of thine hands, the moon and the stars, when he considered the universe, what is man that thou art mindful of him? My friends, man is the highest aspect of divine creation, and God is concerned about him. He's mindful of him. He means more to God than all the universes is put together, all the vast expanse of space and the constellations. They mean hardly anything to God in comparison to what man means to him. And then he looks down and he listens to a man that he had been so gracious to, that he had extended such mercy to. And this man, despising the birthright, God was very hurt. He was very hurt. He was hurt because, listen to me carefully, he was hurt because
He saw his son being rejected. That's the ultimate, you see. The ultimate in this rejection was not just the birthright, I should think of it, those privileges, but he saw the rejection of his beloved son. And my friends, this evening, it does something to the heart of God when you are brought under the sway of the Spirit through the gospel, when you are opportuned to hear the message, when you are exposed to divine truth, when you realize what Christ did for you, and you say no, God becomes devastated in a sense. He becomes hurt because you reject his son. And God says about Esau, because of this, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God saying that. God saying, Esau, I hate you. And I'm going to judge you, Esau. I'm going to root you up. There is not going to be one sign of your existence. And you read the Old Testament and you note there is a complete rejection. Complete. Esau, you rejected my son. My friends, that's how God thinks. When you reject him Sunday after Sunday, day after day, month after month, year after year, when you say no to the Son of God, then the Spirit of God dogs at your soul and convicts you of sin. And when you say no, God was very hurt. Therefore, he allowed the blessing to go to Jacob. Now Jacob, you know, was a sinner just like Esau. But somehow Jacob had a more spiritual interest than Esau. And that which Esau despised, Jacob longed for. Some of you, you know, I believe you want to be saved. And I think there are some times when you sit down and you think about your soul, and you see that you are naked before him with whom you have to do, and if eternity was to dawn that moment, you'd be lost forever. And I believe that you are brought face to face with that. There is a longing in your heart. There is an interest. There is a concern to be saved. But I ask you, why don't you turn your life over to Christ? What are you holding out for? What are you resisting? Why not say yes to Christ? You can only get blessing. You can only get the best. You can only get heaven. If you yield to Christ, you lose nothing but your sin. Why not resist? Resist the devil and surrender to Jesus Christ? Oh, my friend, procrastination is the thief of time. And maybe when you come to that emotional feeling, and you say, well, I know I need to be saved, but I'll get saved another time, maybe later, but not right now. Let me tell you, friends, procrastination is a thief of time, and the time will come when you will say later, but there'll be no later. Then you'll say tomorrow, as the trio so solemnly sang, you'll say, but it's one day too late. One day too late. I'm going to get saved Monday, but Jesus comes Sunday. Oh, my friends, listen. It's important. D.L. Moody spoke with a man concerning his soul. And the man said, well, Mr. Moody, I'm going to get saved, but not now. I ain't got no time right now. Later on, the man got sick. Mr. Moody went to see him and spoke with him. He says, Mr. Moody, if I got saved now, people are going to say you got saved because you're sick. And they probably will. So what?
So what?
Get saved. Whether you get saved because you are sick or what, get saved. That's the important thing. I hear folks say, well, you know, I'm going to get saved. And when I get saved, I want to mean it. That's another trick of the devil. I want to mean it. Sure, you should mean it because you can't get saved if you don't mean it. Right? No. Unless you mean it, you can't get saved. And I want to believe that a lot of people have made professions and they did not really mean it. They did it because of circumstances. They did it because, you know, if they didn't say something, people are going to say so and so, and they are not living one day for Christ. They are as miserable and critical as could be, and they say they are saved. With what? By whom? My Bible tells me that when a person gets saved, there is a deliberate change. A decisive change, people know. Can be seen, although we're not talking about perfection, we're talking about change. So people say, well, I'll get saved, but I want to mean it. I said to them, okay, then come on, get saved and mean it. Because you need to be saved, and you need to be saved now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The blessing was allowed to go to Jacob. God rejected Esau. Jacob, have I loved? Esau, have I hated? And then in Hebrews chapter 12, God calls him a fornicator, a spiritual fornicator. He gave himself to spiritual immorality. That's how God was concerned. That's how God looked at him. And the Bible says, he that despised the birthright, God despised. And he was rejected. And he brought judgment upon him. He brought judgment upon him. I'm going to close. But in closing, I want to think in closing on Esau's regret. Esau's regret. Chapter 27 has this story. Jacob is about to die. Jacob sensed the fact, or rather Isaac is about to die. Isaac sensed the fact that he doesn't have much longer to live. And so he wants to do like Jacob did later on down in Egypt when Jacob called his sons together. Before he gathered up his feet. It's a really beautiful picture how Jacob died. It says, after Jacob blessed his sons and Joseph's sons, he gathered up his feet. Isn't that beautiful? Gathered up his feet and placed them in the bed and stretched out. And he went home to glory. Isaac did not have very much longer to live. He sent a message to Esau. Esau came. Yes, Daddy. I'm Esau. Isaac was kind of blind now. Esau, you know how I like that meat that you fix. That venison. Go out. Catch one of those young deers and fix it like you, only you can fix it. And bring it, let me eat to my soul's satisfaction, and then be gathered to my father. That I might bless thee and gather to my father. Esau took off, because now his mind is centered on the blessing. That's the emphasis. Go and get the venison and come, that I might eat and I might bless thee. That's the thing that Esau was concerned about. He races off to get the venison. He fixes it, and before long he's back. But in the meantime, old Sarah listened in. And she said, now, Jacob, boy, you better work fast.
You don't know what kind of success Esau is going to have out there. So you better work fast. You go and get a kid and bring it to me. Let me fix it. I know exactly how Esau fixed it. I taught him, you see. So I know how to fix this thing. And you bring it to me. And she took the little goat, the young kid. You see, the untamed animals carry a sort of rankness. Thou thought of or thought of. A goat, though in captivity, never loses its rankness. A sheep does. Not a goat. Get a kid from the flock. Bring it here. Let me fix it. You see, when Isaac eats that, he's not only going to enjoy the taste, but he's going to enjoy the smell. And so Jacob goes out at the command of his request of his mother, and he brings in the little kid. She fixes it, and she fixes him up, and he goes into his father. To make a long story short, Isaac eventually became satisfied and pronounced a blessing upon Jacob. The Bible says no sooner had Jacob gone out, Esau came in. Esau came in. And when Esau came in, he greeted his father. He greeted his father. And when his father heard his voice, his father trembled. Says, Esau, is that you? Yes. But weren't you just here? No, I just came in. Just came in from the field with the venison. I just came. Then Isaac realized that your brother Jacob had come in and he has the blessing. You see, Esau realized the fact of the blessing. But it was too late. It was too late. And he should have thought of a blessing. He didn't. He thought only a time. Now he wants the blessing. It's too late. And God had rejected him and allowed the blessing to go to Jacob. And now Esau discovers. Look at verse 33, chapter 27. Esau discovers the loss of the blessing. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. You know what he was saying? I have blessed him, and it cannot be reversed. The Bible says of God, when he opens the door, no man can shut it. When he shuts the door, no man can open it. And one of the sad things here, that the tables could not be turned, although Isaac was so concerned. The concern of family can't change it. When God says no, it's no. You might have a Christian husband here tonight. I say to you, your Christian husband can change it. When God says no, you might have a Christian wife here tonight, and she loves you dearly. You have Christian children. But when God says no, when God says it's finished, when God says that's it. No family ties. No family concern. Nothing could change it. Nothing. Nothing. He discovered the loss of the blessing. He now moves over the deadline at last. Over the deadline at last. He realizes the value of the blessing. He discovers the loss of the blessing. And he regrets now his decision. He comes back. And the Bible says in Hebrew that he weeps. Oh, he weeps. He sought repentance with crying. But God turned the deaf ear. Oh, my blessed Father, he says.
Is there one more blessing? Oh, bless me indeed, my father. Don't send me out without a blessing. Isaac said, thy brother is blessed, and he shall be blessed. It's irreversible. Irreversible. He regrets his decision. He weeps bitterly. He repents deeply. He is rejected completely. I read in closing. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And verse 24. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. I also now will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Repentance that found no forgiveness. Now is the accepted time, my friend. Now is the day of salvation. Bow to pray with me, please. Bow to pray with me. In these solemn, serious moments, while God's Spirit moves among you, speaks to your heart, brings you a fresh awareness of your need to be saved, right there in your seat, you could ask Him to come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, says Jesus. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into Him and will sup with Him and He with me. You can do it right there in your seat. We'd like to hear about it if you have. We'd like to be able to have a further word with you to confirm whatever you've done. But do it tonight. Why, this is the day of salvation. Father, oh, we pray that you would bless your word to every heart, especially those who have once again the gospel message they have heard, having heard it a number of times before. May tonight they say, Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. May this be the beginning.